Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 395. What a month this week has been. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
What a week we have had in the land of politicking and furry politicking. It's just been exciting left and right. You know, lots of politics in the news, lots of bullshit happening to our Cheeto-in-Chief. He's had a very, very bad week. His personal lawyer flipping, his buddy Manafort getting convicted on 8 charges of fraud.
But they didn't find him guilty on the other charges.
He's still guilty.
That was literally Doofus's fucking tweet, was something like, jury deadlocked on 8. On 8 counts. I was like, yes, but guilty on 10.
And then they also subpoenaed and gave immunity to that. The thing is, the guy's last name is Pecker. He's the guy that runs the National Enquirer, and he has immunity, which means that he's given them some juicy shit.
So apparently the National Enquirer head office has a secret safe that has all these unpublished stories that they were paid not to publish. And it's not just dump. It's like all these celebrity scandals and gossips and stuff like that that people basically paid them not to publish.
It's always funny when things like TMZ and the National Enquirer actually dig up something real. And it's like, holy shit, these rags, these gossip whatevers, they actually find a juicy tidbit.
Like, the National Enquirer is like, not journalistic, you know, in integrity, though. I mean, if they're allowed themselves to be paid off not to, I mean, yeah, I don't care about the celebrity sex scandals. Like, that shit should stay private.
You know, but some things like Fox and such, they get hush-hush from higher up, too.
Yeah, probably.
They're not exactly...
Yeah, but Fox is an entertainment channel. It's not news.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the process is called catch and kill. They buy the rights for the story and then never do anything with it, even when they've got exclusivity. Like, they get paid for their story, but nothing happens with it. And that's what happened with a lot of this bullshit.
And then they've got that stuff over people forever so they can get favors or whatever.
Yeah. So we're stealing Barking Points' this fucking week right now, because it just has been such a juicy, wild week.
You should listen to them too, because just as a little bit of a, hey, since we stole your stuff.
Oh yeah, you should totally listen to Barking Points. It's funny because, like, they record a couple days earlier, so they were like, they had a couple of the things that had happened, and then here we are recording a little bit later in the week, and there's like, oh, and this is the other stuff.
Yeah.
And I tweeted that, like, man, this next Barking Points episode, this fucking week is going to be wild.
Yeah.
So, you know, bit of preview here. And, of course, by the time they record again, more shit will have happened.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just never going to end. It's never going to stop. This is the hell world we live in. The American political cycle is ridiculous.
Every 4 to 8 years, we go schizophrenic and decide that we're something else entirely.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, I've talked about this, and I mentioned this on a podcast before. Like, if I was a foreign government, I wouldn't trust this country. I mean, we've backed out of treaties. We've broken promises that we made under the previous administration. It's like
you've got Germany being like, hey, we need to build up European military power because we can't count on the U.S. anymore. And you have Trump talking about literal white supremacist talking points about the killing of white farmers in South Africa. Yeah. That the government of South Africa is like, that's not happening here. What the fuck are you talking about?
And I follow a couple of South Africans on Twitter, and one in particular has always retweeted shit debunking those particular myths.
Yeah, and then it was very quickly pointed out that the person that he, quote, got the story from is literally like a white supremacist, Rhodesian white supremacist who wants to cleanse Africa of black people.
Good fucking luck with that. It's like 90-10, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that they don't want to try. They don't want to go back to the magical time of apartheid where they had all the power and
They don't want to cleanse black people. They want black people under their control.
It really depends on the Nazi, but
I guess. But I imagine like they need people like plowing their fields and
mining their diamonds,
chickens. Working service jobs, doing what?
I said milking their chickens.
Hey, you know, whatever goes in South Africa, you know. But it's just been so wild because it's always one crazy thing after another, and it feels like it's really accelerated the last little bit. Like, you know, I actually got a screen cap of someone who'd compiled a list of all the shit that's happened just politically in North America. So
can you believe he's only been president for like a year and a half?
Yeah. It only feels like it's been 16 fucking years, you know? It's not 16 months.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right. So the last 48 hours, as of this recording.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
What is today's date again?
Thursday, the 23rd.
Yeah. All right. So in the 21st to 23rd, President Trump's personal attorney and finance chairman Michael Cohen pleaded guilty to charges laid out by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York. While under oath, he admitted to making illegal payments under the direction of then candidate Trump,
who was referred to as the candidate.
I was like candidate one or something one. Mm-hmm. And then like, comma, who has since become the president. It's like, I wonder who this person is. Lanny Davis, Cohen's attorney, went across the networks claiming his client had knowledge of topics pertaining to special counsel Mueller's investigation and that his client was willing to cooperate.
Save my own ass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quote, Mr. Cohen has knowledge on certain subjects that should be of interest to the special counsel and is more than happy to tell the special counsel all he knows, Davis told the network.
Oh my God.
Not just about the obvious possibility of a conspiracy to collude and corrupt the American democracy system in the 2016 election, which the Trump Tower meeting was all about, but also knowledge of the computer crime of hacking and whether or not Mr. Trump knew ahead of time about the crime and even cheered it on. President Trump's campaign chairman Paul Manafort was convicted on 8 federal counts. Prosecutors sought to postpone President Trump's former NatSec Michael Flynn's sentencing, indicating that he may still be of use to special counsel Mueller's investigation. A judge threw out a sham libel case against Christopher Steele, the former MI6 spy who wrote the Steele dossier.
Oh, yeah.
What dossier was that? I missed
it. The P-tape one, which everything else, basically it was a dossier made by a former British spy who was like, this is all the shit that Trump has done. And it was initially paid for by the RNC. Like, it was initially counter info against Trump by the Republicans that then basically...
Oh, because they wanted to run a more qualified candidate.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is instead what we fucking got. The second Republican congressman to publicly support then-candidate Trump was indicted on charges that he converted more than $250,000 in campaign funds to pay for personal expenses and filed false campaign finance records with the FEC.
That was a California Republican congressman, right? Yeah.
And a chunk of his spending was on Steam games.
What?
Yeah. Like, in the filings that people posted, like, there were screen caps that, like, apparently he'd spent, like, $1,200 on games on Steam.
Really?
And I don't remember what it was, but it was something that you could get at a variety of sports stores, but his wife told him to buy it from the golf club pro shop so that they could claim that it was like a write-off, like a golf thing, which they can write off probably its networking and stuff like that.
Yeah. So this guy was used $250,000 to grease wheels and buy video games. Like, he made a thing where it was like getting dental work done and marked it down as like a donation to the dental foundation or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll just write that off whenever I get dental work as like a donation. What the fuck?
I
didn't even know about that part. I'm just,
yeah. President Trump's economic advisor Larry Kudlow hosted a white nationalist publisher at his birthday party last weekend, although Kudlow denies any knowledge of those views.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft's Digital Crime Unit uncovered a Russian hacking operation that targeted political institutions and conservative think tanks. In another victory for the courts, a Ku Klux Klan leader was sentenced to 4 years in prison for firing a gun at the Unite the Right rally at Charlottesville last year.
Yeah, he fired a gun at a black guy.
Yeah,
he was counter-protesting.
And the only reason he didn't fucking kill the guy is that he had the safety on initially. He whipped out his gun, pulled the trigger, and didn't. And then, like, the guy had a chance to dodge, essentially, and when he did get the safety off, he fired the gun and missed. Because that dude was going to flat-out fucking murder a dude and fucked up.
Shouldn't that have... He should have gotten murdered 4 years. I mean, that shouldn't have just been discharging a firearm. That should have been attempted murder.
Yeah, for sure. A New York state judge denied President Trump's motion to dismiss...
If the potential victim hadn't been black, I bet it would have been attempted murder.
Probably. Cops and Klan walk hand in hand. It's not just this catchy slogan. New York State judge denied President Trump's motion to dismiss a lawsuit. Then candidate Trump's security team must face a jury for assaulting protesters. So that's fun. New York State has subpoenaed Michael Cohen in the Trump Foundation probe. He's flipped and is basically cooperating. So now the state level guys are going, oh, well, you're going to help us with the Trump Foundation.
It's called Trump was leaving him out to hang, and he said, fuck you. And
It's like, this is the, like, I'm going to, I'll spend a while in prison, but these guys will probably spend longer. In either way, he's like, I might get killed by Russians, but I'm going to try to do some damage before I go down, you know?
Which one is sentenced? Or could be sentenced for, like, up to 65 years.
I think that's Manafort.
Okay.
Which one was Manafort? I lose track of all.
He was... That's the thing. There's so many fucking snakes.
I think he was some kind of campaign
He was
advisor.
A campaign chairman.
Yeah.
So he was the guy that picked Pence. He was the guy that did a lot of the shit. Mm-hmm. And he was in control of the campaign for a number of months.
Mm-hmm. Like many others got
fired.
So
he's basically like the Republican John Podesta?
Sure. And according to court filings, prosecutors say that President Trump's real estate company paid Michael Cohen $420,000 in an effort to illegally silence women during the 2016 presidential campaign, relying on sham invoices that concealed the nature of those payments. So y'all remember Stormy Daniels, where he paid her $130,000.
And he paid another former Playboy Playmate $150,000.
And that still leaves... like another $80,000 of just question marks.
Right.
And this is not everything, right? Mm-hmm. This is just like something that the guy compiled in the last 48 hours, and he might have missed some things.
Because you know Mueller's holding on to like a lot of shit for when he actually publishes or releases. Well, I don't know, and that'll be public, but when he actually brings his final investigative conclusions to a close, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's like a ton of stuff that is not public knowledge. And what is public knowledge?
Is so damning.
Like, I saw this comparison where they were like, Bill Clinton had consensual sex with not his wife. He lied about it. He was impeached, but he wasn't found guilty, so he wasn't kicked out of office. But they still brought impeachment proceedings against him. And all this stuff has already been proven about Trump, and...
Nothing's come up. No impeachment.
Yeah, and it's like, I keep seeing centrist pundits being like, will this be the thing that finally brings Trump down? And it's like, no. Another week's going to go by. He's still going to be president. He's not going to be impeached. I was predicting that he would probably resign by his first or second year in office. And now I'm like, I don't think he will. I think he's going to keep clawing because he sees that as having this position as some kind of legitimizing him, I guess. It's narcissism. Like, he's the ultimate narcissist. Like, I honestly think Trump just wants to be liked. He wants everybody to like him. And it's absolutely infuriating him that his poll approval ratings are so low and that all of this shit is coming up. And, like, I think he thinks it shouldn't matter because he's so
awesome.
I'm the
president. I should be loved.
Right. It's like none of them had any clue how any of this shit worked. Like, they just did this to do it. And it's like, no, you are... It's not just that you're traditionally held to certain standards in the public's view worldwide when you're the president of a country. It's that, yeah, there are actual legal things in place that, like, this shit can come to light. And I guess he just thought, I don't know if he thought maybe he could just, like, have guys whacked or what, you know?
Really surprises me.
Well, nothing so far has outright been able to make it stick to him. It's been his advisors. It's been his campaign people. It's been his lawyer. Like, actually getting shit to stick to him has been really hard.
But that's how they do these mafia-level things. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, they're treating this as a organized crime investigation.
Yeah.
They're working their way up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're getting the little fish that were beneath him and directing his shit, isolating him from the people that had been his advisors. And then, of course, you get the fucking wild cards like Omarosa out there, who had been recording shit on her phone and taking video,
mm-hmm.
which is, wow, really, like, impressively ballsy.
Yeah.
But also so flagrantly, like, it's not illegal, but if you're working in the White House, you're supposed to be like, oh, you're operating in the utmost secrecy, when they're treating it like a fucking TMZ scrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's a fucking reality TV star.
Yeah, she's not like
him, who ended up working for the highest office in the land.
There's video that she's taken that's, you know, Cohen going on the plane with Trump, so he can't be like, oh, he was just this guy, he was a coffee boy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, there's all these other recordings. Like, is there going to be a tape of him saying the N-word? Maybe, probably. Of course they exist. I know he said that word. He's probably said it, like, in the last 2 days.
And it doesn't matter. If that came out,
they'd be
it
like,
would strengthen his position with his racist base.
Yeah, just be like, well, of course he did. You know,
the people that like Trump now are not going to be fazed by him dropping a word that they probably use all the time.
Yeah. And the line about him, I could kill a dude on Fifth Street and wouldn't lose a supporter, is true.
Yeah. He was amazingly prescient about that, actually.
Yeah. His cult personality. We live in interesting times, right? This is
the Chinese proverb.
The Chinese proverb come to light. We live in interesting times where our president is repeating white nationalist talking points on his fucking Twitter account,
mm-hmm.
being a bitch about Michael Cohen on his Twitter account. Like, if anyone is looking for a good lawyer, I would strongly suggest that you don't retain the services of Michael Cohen. That's such a catty fucking high school
like
mean girl.
I would have thought that was an Onion headline, you know, but it's not. Like, he actually tweeted this shit. It's like, holy fuck. Really?
There was like a fake Onion tweet that was like, the Onion is facing bankruptcy because we can no longer make up shit that's too dumb to exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's impressive. And so, you know, we've just had all sorts of crazy shit just happening constantly. And there's probably stuff that's happened while we're recording. And I'm tempted to look at my phone, but I really shouldn't, because we do have a whole bunch of other topics.
I mean, in the last month or so, I've been to two conferences around the publishing industry, like WorldCon and the publisher conference I went to in Tennessee. And yeah, the absolute insanity of 2018 has come up repeatedly. Like, yeah, like, I wouldn't publish this year. It's a totally unbelievable story.
Yeah. Like, I want to fire the writers and we're going to retcon this shit. Superboy Prime's going to have to punch reality.
And people say, yeah, whenever you saw, like, evil Wall Street bankers that were willing to fuck over everybody just to get richer, and it seems so over the top. It's like, no. Now there's actually records showing, no, they actually are like that.
Former reality star backed by foreign power rises through the ranks through dirty dealings and money, actually attains power, and then drains the country as best he can to benefit his family and his cohorts. Yeah.
It reads like a bad sitcom.
It's like a pulp novel that
starring
should have a super
Michael
spy.
Douglas as the president.
Yeah.
And I pick him because he played Gordon Gekko in Wall Street.
Yeah, you know, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Greed is good. So there has been other news. In good news, well, not really good news, but
no nukes have been launched and we're not all dead. That's the good news.
Yes, we are not ghosts recording this episode. I think we did talk about this a little bit ago, that there was a Texas sheriff's deputy accused of sexually assaulting a girl and threatening her mother.
Yes.
With deportation if she went to the cops.
He killed himself.
Killed himself in prison. So one less scumfuck in the world. So, you know, thumbs up to that. Fucked up that he couldn't do it before he hurt a little girl, you know.
How much of a scumbag do you have to be to molest a child and then threaten her mother with deportation if she talks?
Power tripping fuckheads, man.
And she was here illegally, too.
Fuck all these fucking fucks.
But actual good news.
Okay.
California lawmakers have passed a bill to erase old pot convictions.
Good. Isn't there like a... Is it, like, flat across the border? Is it, like, possession or...
Basically, it would erase misdemeanors and bump a lot of felony convictions back to misdemeanors.
Which is, if you're not a felon, you can get a lot of your rights back.
You get a lot of your rights back. You can vote. You can have guns. And so, like, this has opened the door for a lot of people to basically regain their lives. Because, you know, the war on drugs is just another white supremacist bullshit thing that has put lots of black people in prison. And California actually doing some restorative justice is nice.
A couple years too late, though, in my opinion. That should have been written into the fucking law when they made it legal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I love that they're legalizing pot, but, like, decriminalizing all the people that have already been penalized for it should have been in the fucking law from day one.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't benefit the for-profit prison industry if they were like, you have to let all these people go.
Yeah.
Did you know, like, that there's a lot of people that are fighting the California fires are prisoners that are being paid $1 an hour to fight a deadly wildfire?
Yep.
Wow.
And because they're felons, they're ineligible to become firemen after they released.
It's slavery.
It's literally slavery.
It's modern slavery. It's like there's no fucking difference.
The 13th Amendment loophole means, like, you can't have a slave, giant asterisk, except for prisoners. And America is still built upon slave labor in many regards. There's actually an ongoing prison labor strike going on.
Yep.
That people have organized, and basically they're like, look, fuck you. We're in prison. What are you going to do? Put us in double prison? We're not going to make your fucking license plates. We're not going to make your fucking Walmart tables. We're not going to print your shirts that say Freedom USA, whatever the fuck they use the slave labor for.
Well, they've got a similar thing for anyone who is, I gotta say, diminished capacity. So there's some things where, like, if you have mental diminished capacity or physical diminished capacity, they don't have to pay you the same wages as a person of not that reduced capacity. So the folks you see in, like, I don't know, Goodwill and other places are often, they're not always paid fairly. They don't even make minimum wage in some cases because it's legal not to.
I read an article here a little bit ago specifically about Goodwill, that they get the people that are very, very – that don't really function on their own. They live in, like, assisted living facilities. They get paid like 50 cents an hour to sort clothes.
Yeah.
Stuff
that's
like
what
that.
I meant. Not even minimum wage.
You know, so it's really shit like that, because this actually chains into the next topic that we have about Verizon.
Oh, God. Yes, this bullshit. This is fucking bullshit.
Okay, so
yeah,
when you're a firefighting command and control vehicle, you need to have access to internet and cellular capability. Because you're out there in the fucking rural boonies fighting a fire.
Trying to coordinate all your units.
And Verizon decided that, well, you've gone over your data cap, so we're going to throttle you. And so they were throttling their communication equipment's data speed to, like, dial-up levels while they're trying to coordinate the fire squads fighting fires in Northern California. The fire department had to pay twice as much as they were already paying to lift the throttling during their wildfire response. And when they contacted Verizon, Verizon's like, well, you can get a better plan. They had a quote-unquote unlimited plan, but
like everything unlimited.
They deployed so much, they'd been fighting these massive fires for weeks on end, that they ran through their data allotment before they start getting throttled. And, like, they're damn lucky that nobody got killed, because they couldn't get their communication out that, oh shit, the wind's shifting, get out of the way, or
and
whatever.
Then they ended up using other emergency services
and their own phones.
Yeah.
Like, they had to clutch together a communication mesh, which is, God, what a nightmare that would be. You know, you're out there, you're a fireman, you're working on your shit, working with a squad in this massive conflagration. There's motherfucking fire tornadoes off in the distance, which are impressive to see, but terrifying in reality.
Not an exaggeration, a fire tornado.
Literal fire tornadoes. And your fucking radios stop working because the data's throttled, or your phones stop working, your communication shuts down because, you know, you use too many bits and bytes screaming across the internet about, holy shit, the fire's coming, need squad A to this point. You know, they'd be like, or to put it in gaming terms, like the raid leader suddenly losing Discord.
Yep.
Or every fifth word getting cut off when you're trying to coordinate people.
Which is a little more important when, you know, your state is burning down.
And they usually buy these plans for their average use, but then shit hits the fan and, oh God, you know, we suddenly have a multi-week event where we're using every drop of whatever we have and, you know, things go sideways.
And I'm not sure all the ins and outs of how this would work, but my first thought was, like, why does the fire department have a Verizon account? Like, why don't they have some sort of state infrastructure for this? And I get it's the public versus private kind of thing. Like, there should be a state public internet for their vital infrastructure.
Well, like, or they work with Verizon for, no, this is the services you offer to things like fire.
Where, yeah, they get a state level contract that doesn't have the same limitations as like a civilian contract.
Right.
Well, here in Dallas and Plano and all the cities around here, there is an emergency services mesh network. Mm-hmm. If you see at a lot of intersections, they have the little Wi-Fi antennas.
Yep.
And there's a mesh network across the entire city that the cops and fire department and EMS can link into.
And also, there are large parts of Addison that have free public Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Provided through that same system.
And so, like, in cities, they have this, but when you're out fighting rural fires that are getting close to civilization, you don't have that mesh network connectivity.
And I'm sure, like, yeah, Verizon has the infrastructure and the equipment to, like, make this happen. Obviously, they do, because that's what they were using, but, like, that there should be some, I would say there should be some special notation on their account, or it should be a whole other fucking department.
I would say that civil services should be a privileged class of
things user. Like fucking firemen.
Like, you know, the Santa Clara Fire Department should not have to pay through the nose to be able to coordinate wildfires.
Yeah, because, and I think this is fucked up in general, but like a lot of times you will see small fire departments having fundraisers and shit like that. So, like, we know that fire departments are underfunded. Not to, like, piss off people by being pro-cop, but, like, police departments are underfunded also. And, you know, for as much as all these jackasses talk about backing the blue and Blue Lives Matter, like, there's not a lot of money going to these resources.
Yeah. It came down to their command and control vehicle having a Verizon SIM card and its internet access thing, and
Verizon's come forward and said it shouldn't have happened this way. Well, motherfucker, no fucking shit. Of course it shouldn't have gone down this way.
The quote from the article is, in the midst of our response to Mendocino Complex Fire, County Fire discovered the data connection for OES 5262, which is their command and control vehicle, was being throttled by Verizon, and data rates have been reduced to 1/200th or less than the previous speeds, Bowden wrote. These reduced speeds severely interfered with the vehicle's ability to function effectively. My information technology staff communicated directly with Verizon via email about the throttling, requesting it be immediately lifted for public safety purposes. Verizon did not immediately restore full speeds to the device, however. Verizon representatives confirmed the throttling, but rather than restoring us to an essential data transfer speed, they indicated that County Fire would have to switch to a new data plan at more than twice the cost, and they would only remove throttling after we contacted the department that handles billing and switched to a new data plan.
Like, what kind of fucking chode is answering the phone that day? Yeah, it's some underpaid rep, but it's like, you know, they're probably burned out having a really shitty day because they work at Verizon, so I mean, why wouldn't you be having a shitty day? But like, they should have fucking had some sense of independent thought to be like, oh hey, this is a fire department, I should remove their data cap.
The thing is, that thing probably went up a couple layers, and someone up top said, no.
Verizon tried to dispute the claim, and then, of course, update. The Santa Clara Fire Department has responded to Verizon's claim that the throttling was just a customer service error and that, quote, has nothing to do with net neutrality. To the contrary, Verizon's throttling has everything to do with net neutrality, a county official said. This whole story also links into a federal-level lawsuit against the Ajit Pai and his repealing of net neutrality. Basically reestablish that, you know, common carrier, you can't throttle certain people arbitrarily kind of nonsense. That was a really fucked up thing. It's like, Verizon sides with wildfires in case of wildfire versus firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Those people in the whatever area of California currently on fire, they should tell their fire department to pay more for mobile internet.
They should have left off the bit about net neutrality and just said, sorry, customer service error, you know?
Verizon's bad. This is one of those, hey, guess what? Capitalism's bad.
Yeah.
There are times to make a buck. A wildfire is not one of them.
So, now moving on to some furry stuff.
Yes.
Your Furrence is happening.
Okay, so, real quick, here are your furry cons for this weekend.
Jesus, this is a list.
Eurofurds in Berlin, Camp Farrell in Ontario, Canada, Denver, Colorado, FA United. I didn't put the city on that. It's somewhere in New Jersey or Virginia. Indy FurCon, Indianapolis. So that's five furry cons, and I'm not even 100%. Confident that I've got them all listed. So if you're a furry and you're not at a con this weekend, well, that's us.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but I'm saying, if you want to go to a con this weekend, you've got your pick, domestic and international. Tyrion's at a furry con this weekend. He's driving to Denver right now for Denver.
Cool.
But, like, goddamn. I mean, yeah, I guess some... This is just an example of, like, yeah, some cons are going to overlap, but five in one weekend is kind of a holy shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, list them off again, because there's Colorado, and then Germany, and then you said... What, Camp Farrell, you said? That's in Canada, isn't it?
Canada. There's and also...
FAU is.
Indianapolis, which is kind of in the middle of the country, yeah. Indiana. And FA United would be on the East Coast somewhere.
Yeah, and in like Massachusetts or Virginia?
No, you're thinking Anthro New England is up in either Mass or Connecticut, I forget. No, it's Virginia or New Jersey.
Yeah.
It was always in New Jersey the early years, and I thought that maybe they had crossed the border for a better hotel or something.
I will Google real quick.
Yeah, they may still be in Jersey somewhere.
But still, that's a lot of furries going to a lot of different places.
It's a lot of cons in one weekend. But anyway, Saverin, back to your actual relevant point.
Yep, they're in Herndon, Virginia.
Herndon, Virginia. Okay. So, Eurofurrents took a big step this year.
Yep.
I like this step, too.
So, it is incredibly professional for convention organizations to make very firm position statements. Because this year, Eurofurrents very explicitly said Nazi furs fuck off, and they provided ribbons for everyone if they so desired to wear it.
It was in the reg bag.
In the con book. And they had a
two-page letter from the chairman, basically, that pretty much laid this out. Like, it's not our intention to get political, but in these times, we need to make it very clear that we are not pro-far-right ideology. We're a liberal convention, and this kind of bullshit is not tolerated and not welcomed.
And I'm sure you might have seen the links, but there will be a link in the show notes. The last two paragraphs, like, we hereby explicitly distance ourselves from all right-wing movements. Eurofurrents is liberal. Eurofurrents is social. Eurofurrents is a get-together of people of all nations. Eurofurrents welcomes all identities, all genders, all ethnic groups. Eurofurrents promotes the freedom of the arts. Eurofurrents is about being who we really are. And no government, no politician, and definitely no interest internet hate mob is going to take that away from us. Unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them. Karl Popper. Yours sincerely, Sven Cheetah Tegatov, the chairman.
Yes.
Good. So, major, mega, huge props to the Eurofurrents people. They have taken what really shouldn't be a bold stand. I mean, it should be kind of the default that, yeah, Nazis fucking suck, and the people that espouse ideals anywhere near to them fucking suck. But, of course, as you guys know, the internet will not just let that lie. We've had no end of people being like, oh, this is so unprofessional. Furry should be apolitical. Convention should be apolitical.
Can we go back to the days when furry wasn't political? It's like, furry was always political.
Furry is always...
Just like science fiction was always political. Yeah, we have the same issue with that in science fiction with, whoa, why can't we just go back to the good old space adventures when, you know, white men would go and bang half the galaxy and be... solely the ones to save the planet and everything. Yeah. Like.
It is unfortunate, but this is the reality we live in, right? Being queer and existing is political. Like, your existence is political to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, the inclusion of queer people in public spaces, in entertainment, in children's media is political. So if you want to be completely, you know, like, oh, we're not going to bring politics into this, you're basically – the taking no side means you're taking the side of the oppressor, the people that don't want queers to exist, the people that don't want gay people to have the right to be out and proud and queer up all the furry bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people align themselves with these groups, they're
taking a political stance.
That is a political – it's a political stance, and it's showing that they're not safe to be around, essentially. And these people that, well, I'm a conservative furry and I feel attacked. You really – if you are – you really need to examine your beliefs and understand, try to figure out why you feel that way. You know,
you see a sign that says Nazi first, fuck off, and feel attacked. Yeah, you really need to examine why you feel that way. If you're claiming that you're not a Nazi, but you're upset that people are dumping on Nazis.
What beliefs are you holding on to that would have people consider you that? You know, are you, you know, anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-Muslim, anti-whatever? It's like there's a lot of things that you can, like, publicly say that are going to raise a red flag. And you are ultimately responsible for what you put on the net. So if people look at your feed and go, oh, I see who you are. I mean, that's one of the nice things about Twitter is, like, you can look at somebody's Twitter feed and figure out a lot about them really quickly.
And that's why I don't get being an absolutely shitty person, you know, like take Jiggle Bones, for example.
Yeah.
You know, he and his mate make a ton of money on Patreon and probably other places selling their merchandise and stuff like that. And all they have to do to maintain a successful life as self-employed artists is not be total shits in public, you know?
And yet.
You know, like, what
and
the fuck?
He was one of the people claiming that, oh, you know, this is so unprofessional.
Yeah.
And I actually got blocked by some 9,000 follower poppy fur fursuit guy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just sort of like, I'll remember that if his name ever comes up for guest of honor. You know, he was like, oh, this is so unprofessional. Why can't we just be apolitical? And my response to him was, you know, actually, conventions making an explicit statement is incredibly professional, stay mad. And then he blocked me, so then I screen capped him being blocked, and I just, like, eternally mad, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't fucking care if some fursuiters blocked me, you know, his whining bullshit getting a response, you know, it's not what he wanted, which is why he blocked me, but it's the correct one. A furry convention saying this shit won't stand and having a firm position is no different than an event like GamerX or WizCon having very explicit who we are mission statements.
Mm-hmm.
And basically saying, you know, we want this group, and if you're not, you know, if you're a group that opposes this, we don't want you here. If you've got a big queer and trans population, you don't want someone coming in with anti-gay bullshit, throwing it around, hitting people with Bibles or whatever, right?
Right.
You know, you pick a fucking side, and people are like, oh, you know, well, this just make us go make our own conventions with blackjack and hookers. And guess what? That sounds great. Good luck. Go do that. Find out how tiny your faction really is.
Yeah. And if they're as smart as their logical fallacy filled tweets make them seem to be, I'm sure that convention will be a roaring success.
Yep. Because, you know, you can just make a convention. They just pop out of thin air. You get yourself a hotel, and then you just throw a party, and your friends show up, and 2,000 furries come and shower you with money and blowjobs. That's how conventions work, right?
That's right.
That's how it works for you, Shiva. You just got somebody on that check hat knob of yours all weekend.
Yep, all weekend. I'm not running around like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's really not that many people in this little clique. Like, the alt-free blocker only is like 933 accounts. It recently got re-upped onto Twitter, so that's nice. You know, it's not like these are a lot of people. They're just loud motherfuckers. And it is worth it to oppose them. Because, you know, social ostracism and no platforming is actually very effective. Mm-hmm. Like, not letting people come to your con and make an ass themselves reduces their power. This mm-hmm. works on every level. It works with the alt-right. You know, take a look at Milo Yiannopoulos. That motherfucker got deplatformed, lost his Twitter account, lost his YouTube account, basically became a pariah because he was actually like, sex with kids is okay.
Lost his position at Breitbart.
And now he's just this internet dipshit who's still lurking around, but he's nowhere nearly as popular as he was. Mm-hmm. You know, there was this other dude, Baked Alaska, made a fool of himself at the Unite the Right rally, got banned off of YouTube and Twitter, and he's now become a nobody. He's lost a lot of his internet misery bucks. You know, it's like kicking people out and just telling them to fuck off is actually very effective. And Nazi first fuck off. I mean, like, if a conventions and conventions in general can piss off the quote, well, define Nazi group enough, everybody else fucking wins.
So I got a ribbon at when I was at Worldcon that someone was passing out. It says Antifa AF, you know, Antifa as foretold is how I read AF. But it means as fuck. And the reason that they didn't, they were thinking Nazi fans fuck off to make it like more general, you know, for the sci-fi community. Because this was a furry that did this. But they didn't want, they said they didn't feel like having the word Nazi on their ribbon.
Yeah.
So they did Antifa AF instead, which still gets the point across. And I can kind of, I totally understand not wanting the word Nazi on your person in any context.
Yeah. I mean, having an Antifa as fuck on your ribbon is cool too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's
foretold.
Good, as foretold. Yeah. Yes. Anti-fascist as foretold.
Yep.
That's what it means. Yes. Completely.
Like, I'm furry as foretold.
Mm-hmm. Extremely.
In the, this was a prophecy in the all-powerful ancient book of Gummy.
What?
The big magic book from the gummy bears.
Oh, okay. I was like, that flew over my head.
I was like, did I make a Disney afternoon reference too obscure for you?
I'm afraid you did, Fuzz. Oh. Because Gummy Bears was, it aired before I got home from school.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because remember, when Disney Afternoon was airing, I was between 7 to like 12.
Yeah. And Gummy Bears was one of the earlier ones.
It was like always at 3 o'clock, and I never got home before 3:30, 4 o'clock. So yeah. I never got to see that, but I always got to see Darkwing Duck and Gargoyles. Yeah, boy. Keith David.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that's kind of it when it comes to like your friends. It's great that they did it. I'm glad that there's people mad about it. Because it shows that it's effective. Mm. And I mean, also have to remember, your friends is in motherfucking Germany.
Mm-hmm.
They have a bit of an opinion about Nazis.
Just a titch.
You know, throwing up a fucking Hitler salute to get you arrested and thrown in jail, literally. And
someone pointed out, like, I don't think these people know that the majority of Germans are actually, like, feel some level of shame that the Nazis came out of their country. You know, the general German is not a fan of Nazis.
And I leave you with the words of our furry president, Sonic Fox. Bitch, shut the fuck up. It literally is the most hypocritical shit ever when you can't even be civil yourself, let alone take accountability on your racist bullshit that you're called out on daily. And no, you're not being debated. I don't fuck with Nazi apologists. God bless Sonic Fox.
And who was that too?
Jiggle Bones. Because he was like being him. And like yeah. Sonic Fox was like, nah, fuck you. And of course he's saying, nah, fuck you too. And like tweeting this out to 90,000 followers.
Shit,
also,
he's up to 90,000
yeah,
followers.
Yeah, 89,900. Also, that boy likes some porn on his main. So I was scrolling the other day and I'm like, wow, that's some furry porn. Who the fuck liked this that is showing up on my main account? And it's like, Sonic Fox liked this. And I'm like, mmm. Nothing but respect for my president. So
he's got to have the most Twitter followers of any furry, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
In cool news, though. So Crunchyroll, we talked about it a little bit ago, mm-hmm. That AT&T has bought out
mm-hmm.
Otter Media, which owns Illation, the animation studio, VRV, Crunchyroll, and Rooster Teeth, which apparently last podcast on the left is now part of Rooster Teeth's umbrella. So they sold themselves to AT&T, the fucking sellouts. No. I don't blame them, but apparently they've switched their ad provider. They're like part of that now.
They're getting revenue from Rooster Teeth, but they're still, they didn't sell to them. They're still on the Last Podcast Network.
Yeah, it's like there's something going on there. Like, I mean, good on them. They're making shitloads of money.
Their ad-free stuff was on Stitcher Premium.
And now it's not.
And now it's not. Now it's on Rooster Teeth instead. But their ad-free feed is still on their Patreon.
Which we get.
So, yeah, I'm not going to say they're sellouts.
I'm being more facetious.
Okay. Like,
if they've gotten that far with their fucking pop show about like serial killers and shit, from where they started to where they are now, they've come so fucking far and like high five, dudes. Great. I'm a little jealous, but you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do that. Mm-hmm. But that also requires a lot more energy that I don't have. But anyways.
And they're another group that that kind of cleaned up their act. That kind of...
They matured a lot.
They realized that certain jokes and certain types of humor that they were using in their early episodes were not really cool.
We know nothing about that.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, exactly. We know nothing about that. Like, so they, you know, a lot of long-running podcasts, like host opinions on things are going to change over time, and you're gonna become better educated about certain issues.
Because you can go back for a while there. I was listening backwards to the backlog,
mm-hmm.
And once you get around like episode 70 or so, Henry's really racist.
Yeah,
and they've cleaned up their act a lot, and they still talk about the same shit. It's just they're, you know, being more professional about talking about serial killers and murderers and the Iceman who fucking chopped the dude's fucking balls off and went to go for the dick. And then when the guy gave him the info, fucking cut his guts open, threw him in the ocean to the sharks. Ah, goddamn.
Yeah, that dude was
mafia hitman. Don't fuck with him.
Crazy.
But anyways, so going back to what we were trying to discuss a second ago that we derailed ourselves.
Furry hitman.
Furry hitman. Nothing but respect for my president. There's a new show called High Guardian Spice, okay. Which is Elation Studios. It's going to be a Crunchyroll original.
Hmm.
And it is a original show.
I assume that was when Guardian married a Spice girl and took her last name.
What can you do? You know, Guardian Spice. He's just this big lion in a Sailor Scout outfit. And I'm sure he'd be horrified to even say, no, we mentioned that. It's a Western animation 2D animated show that Elation is putting together. So, like, this is one of those AT&T owns Otter Media, owns Elation, owns Crunchyroll. So, of course, AT&T is going to pay for Elation to make a show that's exclusive to Crunchyroll. Because synergy and monopoly. So it is a cute show that they've only really shown stills for, but the art's really pretty. It looks the art style's in the vein of Steven Universe.
Speaking of Steve, I got something after that.
Okay. What's interesting about it is that they're doing their best to make it so, like, half their staff is women, and, like, all their writing staff is women, which is cool. I'm going to give it a shot. It comes out in, like, 2019. As you would expect, the anime avatars are screaming constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, people are like, oh, I think Western animation should just be purged. This is terrible. And, oh, no, the progressives are at your door, anime. The SJWs are coming for your big titty anime lolis. You'll never have a catgirl GF at this rate. But
speaking of anime,
that's cool.
I wanted to mention a video that I watched that was quite interesting. He goes by Jack Cat on Twitter in addition to hashtag Purr.
Oh, okay.
And he was working for the organization is called Fandom. They own the Wikia that creates all the... And he had done, he wrote, directed, and starred in this and did all the research on this video that he made about the fucked up nature of a lot of yaoi anime and how it's quite often it's the older guy preying on a younger guy. But the problem is that, like, he has all these examples and they're all rape. like, yeah. the first encounter between these characters is always sexual assault, and then they end up together, and it's so romantic. And, like, the people that were, like, responding angrily to his video were like, well, you have to understand that this is... the gay males aren't the audience for this. The audience for this is young girls. And it's like, and that makes it okay? Like, what kind of mental disconnect? No. Male rape is okay. It's for young girls.
Yes, that's literally their reasoning.
Like, it hurts to even say that because it sounds so illogical.
Let's just say that Japan has a lot of weird hangups on sex. And a lot of that was inflicted by the United States on them. I'm not going to say that their mores were ever great, but we didn't help. And, like, the idea that all the boys' love novels are so formulaic is, yeah, and they're written largely by women, for women, without any actual, like... gay men are not writing romance. It's not like they don't have a Kyle out there writing gay romance about football. It's just whomever doing it. Like, and of course there's probably some outliers that we're missing because that's not a sphere we play in. But yeah, you're right. There's
like, I was actually talking to him at lunch with a bunch of friends when we were out in California, and like I mentioned Gravitation, which was like, it's very old, it's an older anime now, but it was like one of the, I don't really watch anime, but this was like the only one that I watched like all the way through. I've got the whole season on DVD, and I was saying, like, their relationship in that is not rapey, but the main character does get sexually assaulted by a group of homophobic guys. So it's like, the relationship itself is not problematic in the same way that the other ones are, but, like, they couldn't get away with just not having a little bit of rape in there.
So, the anime series for this, Fuzz, came out 18 years ago.
Oh, for Gravitation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured it was about 20
October years 4th, old, 2000, and to January 10th, 2001 was when it ran.
Yeah.
So, the anime is now a legal adult, almost.
Yep. Yeah, and he also pointed out in this video that, like, all the younger guys in the relationship, they're quote-unquote supposed to be of legal age, which is 16 in Japan, but they're all drawn to look like 12-year-olds. So, yeah. Like, there's this sort of additional layer of skeeviness.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, and, like, we're not exactly... like, we can see it outside and go, that's kind of fucked up. But it's also not something that we have a lot of experience beyond going, that's fucked up.
And there are people try to defend it as being like a cultural difference or something, but it's like, if shit's being written now. It's the 21st century. We're a global society now. And you can't say that Japan is some...
insular nation.
Yeah, like, it's not like they don't have access to media and news and shit from the rest of the world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of their media never makes it outside their own country, which is kind of interesting. So, I mean, like, the fact that we have some of those novels showing up here in the West is, you know...
I mean, that's true of a lot of countries. Like, I mean, even being a fan of British sci-fi, like, there's a lot of other... British TV shows that don't really make it out of Britain, that only really some of them lately have shown up on Netflix. And, like, so I actually have Netflix to thank for seeing, like, a lot of British shit that I didn't have access to. Although a service like BritBox probably changes that because they basically packaged up, like, a shitload of just British stuff, including Doctor Who, but that's another subscription service to pay for. Yeah, there's like anything that's produced in a native language, it's going to be difficult to get a good proportion of that out. I mean, only 3% of the world's non-English literature is translated into English, you know, for a publishing-related link on that. So if it's like anything to that degree, then yeah, I'm not surprised that they have a lot of material that isn't known outside of Japan.
So Shiva, what did you have?
So I'm a huge Steven Universe fan, and they've got one of their episodes are up for an Emmy, but actually one of their background painters got an Emmy for, it was the Jungle Moon episode, which is a really good one, but he actually won an Emmy for painting the backgrounds of that show.
Oh, how cool.
I mean, like you said, it's a really pretty show. And yeah, he won an Emmy. So that's really neat. It's nice seeing him get a nod.
Jolly good.
And that show's really been good. Like, I recently got a chance to see the Ruby and Sapphire, like the wedding scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, I now pronounce you Garnet. And like they kiss and fuse into mm-hmm. Garnet. I'm like, oh, that's so fucking cute.
Now, because we started watching it, and of course it's very long. I didn't know if you kept watching it after that one watch-a-thon we had.
I have not gotten much further, but I... When there was an article recently where Rebecca Sugar talked about, you know, being a NB lesbian writer and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they had links to some of the scenes, including the wedding scene that is multiple seasons ahead of where I'm at. But I still wanted to see it because I hadn't seen that scene yet. And even sans context, it stands alone.
And I love the Garnet where it's a fusion of a tux and a wedding dress and it's completely fabulous.
Yes. And that was really cute. So, yeah, Steven Universe is good shit. And that the articles and the positive stuff about Steven Universe is really nice. They're getting a movie that's coming out soon. Or maybe this next year. I don't know.
I haven't got much details about that yet, so I'm not sure.
It's like, I don't have much details other than... It's happening.
It's happening.
Yay! It's happening. So, Fuzz, you mentioned earlier, but you didn't actually discuss much because, holy shit, this episode just went right into it.
Yeah.
You went to Worldcon.
Yes, I did.
Tell us about Worldcon, Fuzz.
Okay. So, Worldcon is the World Science Fiction Convention. This was their 76th Worldcon. They've been... running continuously since the late 30s, with the exception of when World War II was happening. There was a bit of a pause there.
I wonder why.
Everybody was busy doing something. I don't know what happened. But anyway, so the con moves from city to city.
They put it off just long enough to have a war, and then they kept on going.
Basically, yeah. So the con moves from city to city around the world every year. So this year was in San Jose, California. The last time Tyrion and I went and sold at a Worldcon was in 2013 when it was in San Antonio. At that Worldcon, we had really shitty sales. I wonder how we'll do this time. And, you know, Tyrion pointed out, a lot's changed since then. We have a lot more borderline mainstream or mainstream books now.
What year were you at San Ann?
2013.
Okay, so it's been 5 years.
It's been 5 years. And we focused on bringing mostly just the books because it's a very literary con. The comics and the art books don't do quite as well. And we had two tables, and even though we only had books for the most part, we still had two full fucking tables. So we've grown a lot in the last 5 years, and we have a wider range of things than we used to, and we actually did quite well this year. It's a very expensive con to go to. Tables are more expensive. They're not your furry con table prices. Like an attending membership is something like $250.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Yeah, and like my dealer assistant badges were discounted because they're dealer assistants, and they still cost like $165 each.
It's not that much of a discount.
So, well, it's $100 a pop. I mean, yeah. it adds up when you have four people. So I saw it as we've published probably at least five or six authors that are local to the Bay Area, and some more were coming in from out of town. So I knew there was going to be quite a few furries there. They met my request to be next to Sofa Wolf. Sofa Wolf also requested to be next to us. So we had three tables together, and we had this little furry publisher row there. And this is important to us because Sofa Wolf and Fur Planet published several of the same authors. Like, we both published Kyle Gold, we both published Ursula Vernon, we both published Ryan Campbell. So there's some crossover there. So if we're having an author at our table to sign their books, we put them basically right in the middle And then, you know, you can pull books from either publisher, basically, to have them sign stuff. So, of course, Kyle was there all weekend, so he was available to sign his books whenever he needed to. We had a two-hour signing with Ursula Vernon, who was up for... She was nominated for the new Young Adult Science Fiction Award that they just started this year. She was nominated for Summer in Orcus. So, which, like, the they had a special guest at the Hugo Awards presenting the award, this new award, and it was Felicia Day, who a lot of people will know. Mm-hmm. So when they're announcing the awards, they have to say the name of the book, the author, and the publisher. And there was a couple of tweets that were going around. They're like, oh my God, Felicia Day just said Soap Wolf Press at the Hugo Awards. This is like, yay, furry publishing, woo! Mm-hmm. Mary Loud and Tim Sussman both tweeted about that because it was a really cool moment. But yeah, we did well. We had the authors at our table. Ursula did a signing. Mary did a signing. Mary Loud, I should say, the author of the Otters in Space trilogy and also the editor of Roar for the last four volumes, working on the fifth now.
That's cool.
Speaking of Roar, this year's theme is community. The submission guidelines are linked on Mary's website. I'll actually send Savrin the link if any authors in the listening audience want to write something for Roar on the theme of community. It's our general audience anthology, and the deadline to submit is February 1st, so you've got some time. Other than that, we did a joint furry social. So the hotel got a little weird about not calling things parties, kind of like Fiesta had that one year. Like,
it's all about liability.
We were allowed to have open social gatherings, but not parties. And this was kind of the same thing. So it became called the Furry Social. pardon me. And it was quite well attended. And I ended up like chatting to a lot of people and not going to name names because no contracts have been signed or anything yet. But it looks like we're going to be working with at least two more mainstream fantasy authors.
Awesome.
That basically, those discussions came out of this party. So I know the word networking sounds very corporate and businessy, but for small presses and for authors and editors, it's actually really important. And the majority of those conversations don't happen at the dealer's tables. They end up happening at room parties or people hanging out at a bar, just casual gatherings and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're a budding author working on your career, that's the kind of places that you want to be and the sort of networking that you want to do. I have to say one moment that made me really squee was when one award-winning fantasy author says to another, pointing at me and Tieran, oh, these guys are really good to work with and they pay their royalties and and that's great. And I'm like, and they're like, oh, like you get paid. That's awesome. And I'm like, here's my card. Contact me. It's a really nice feeling. Like I got a lot of positive validation for my company and what we're doing out of this Worldcon. Mm-hmm. Mary Loud was really a part of that also. For one thing, she expressed on Twitter, and I talked to her about it in person, that she was really over the moon about having a big banner behind our table with her name on it and her book title, her book covers on it and everything. And that just kind of blew her away. And like, sometimes you forget like the things you do in the name of just like, oh, we're promoting our booth, we want people to come and buy our books, really means a lot to the authors, you know, to see that like, oh, we put a spotlight on these particular people. And she said that she felt it really raised the profile of furry literature at Worldcon in the science fiction community, because she was apparently talking to people all weekend about furry and being a writer in the fandom and how we had our own publishers. And they'd be like, oh, where's your books being sold? And they'd be like, oh, that table with all the cool banners. I saw that. So like she was complimenting us on our professional presentation, basically.
Good.
So I felt super waggy about that. It was also really nice to be back in San Jose. I've missed the last two further confusions, so I didn't go this year, but Worldcon took place in the exact same convention center and the adjoining hotels that Further Confusion takes place in. So we're
familiar spot.
Very familiar spot, because we've been going there for however long FC has been there, which is at least 5 years. It could be longer. I don't remember when they moved to the convention center. It's longer than 5 years, I think. But so we're walking around and like we're eating at the same restaurants and we're exploring the same neighborhood. And it's just, it felt like being at FC. So I was talking to a lot of the same people I talked to at FC. We were having a room party with a lot of the people that I see out there on the West Coast, which was really nice. Basically, I mean, sales weren't amazing. They weren't like when we go to a furry con where we're like selling to our particular audience. But like for a general sci-fi con, showing up as a small press that doesn't have a real big name recognition in that community, we did pretty well.
That's good.
And I went to a couple of panels. Those were really good. I went to one on Afrofuturism, and I went to one on audiobooks.
Cool.
And both were very enlightening, very interesting. I had a lot of interesting, fun, uplifting conversations with people whose company I enjoy and whose works I admire. And it was just a good time. And on a physical level, my feet and my ankles were killing me, because the dealer's room is now in the convention center with its concrete floors. So it's just like Anthrocon in that regard. It is very hard on the feet.
Yes.
You know, and Worldcon has a lot of dealing hours. Now, I wasn't there for Thursday and Friday. I arrived at the hotel finally Friday, like close to midnight. So I was on the dealing floor Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And what's nice is that I did not have back pain. And I'm really, really happy about that. So I'm basically back in convention-going shape.
Good.
Now that this pain has lightened off a little, which means that I feel like I can do more with my company when I'm there. I'm more present at the dealer's table.
You're not in constant pain the entire weekend.
And, you know, I realized how many opportunities that I was probably missing when my back was really acting up. Because like at the party, I'm standing there and I'm talking to Tyrion and Kyle and Ursula. And like I'm standing in the corner of a room having this discussion. And a couple of years ago, I would have been like, I can't wait to get out of this conversation so that I can sit down and not be in agony. And I didn't have that worry this time. And it was
a nicer experience.
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot more talk about this lately. And I'm not disabled. This isn't like a disability. But a lot of people are suffering or have disabilities that are not visual to the naked eye. Like, not everyone who's in pain is walking with a cane or in a wheelchair or something like that. So I've been basically suffering for all these years, and it's set me back, I feel.
It fucking sucks.
And it really fucking sucks. And now that this pain has become more manageable and that I'm not getting that same kind of agonizing nerve pain, I'm just getting that fat person who's been on their feet for 4 days running around doing shit pain, which is fine, because that's like take a couple of ibuprofen kind of pain, you know, and put your feet up at the end of the night. It's not that absolutely crippling, agonizing nerve pain that I was having. So it was really good. So I'm planning to go to FC in January 2019, be back at FC for the first time in 3 years. I'm really looking forward to that.
Good.
Yeah. I'm really glad you're doing well, Fuzz, because, I mean, as somebody who's been there and has done that,
yeah,
you know, it really is life-changing.
It is.
Because I lost all that weight and I regained my mobility. Because, mm-hmm. like, the shit that we did at Anthrocon this year,
yeah,
I couldn't have done that.
Yeah, Anthrocon's fucking brutal if you're not pretty healthy. If you're a dealer, definitely.
Yeah. And like Ajax and I, we went all over fucking downtown with
Zia and Kyle. You put even more stress on your bodies because you did so much walking for Pokemon and Community Day and stuff like that.
Like, it wasn't just walking from hotel to vendor hall and back. We literally trekked miles through Pittsburgh. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I didn't have that lower back pain like I would used to.
Yeah.
Or the sciatica on my legs. It's really nice, and I'm glad that you're making progress.
I appreciate that.
It's also nice when you also see other people making like health things. Like Brasencia, he got himself a CPAP.
Yay!
Getting that shit together. That's another life-changing thing. Oh,
that was something that Ursula Vernon just got a CPAP, too. And that's not private. She's been tweeting about her adventures.
Yeah, he has two, so I'm not just like throwing stuff out there.
So Ursula and I were like sharing CPAP notes, and Tieran and Kevin, Ursula's husband, were sharing the sleeping next to a person before and after a CPAP notes.
Yeah.
And like how, like, Kevin said to Ursula next day, like, you didn't snore at all. It was amazing. And that's basically what Tieran told me like 5-6 years ago when I first got my CPAP.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's kind of funny when you start geeking out about, you know, and oh, God, what? No, someone said to her, like, did you do the Darth Vader voice when you put the mask on? And I'd replied, when I first got mine, one of the, that last Batman movie had just come out. So I was doing the Bane voice. You know, and I was no one until I put on the mask.
I slept terribly until I put on the mask. And now you don't fear me because I'm not going.
Yeah. Right? And she appreciated my desire to have a custom CPAP mask made that looks like an alien face hugger.
Nice.
But Tieran absolutely vetoes that. He does not want to sleep next to a man with a face hugger.
Yeah, what you need to do, Fuzz, is you get one and then mold it around so it looks like a wolf muzzle.
Oh my God. I could totally do that. And when I breathe out, instead of like just the air coming out, it goes, of course, he'd be kept up all night, but it would be so cute.
No, you wouldn't wake up. That would be the answer. Tieran would kill you in your sleep.
Smothered with a pillow.
Yeah, which wouldn't kill me because I have a constant stream of pressurized air.
Oh, yeah. And it would compensate. Oh, it's not getting enough air. Quick, better amp it up. He'd really have to fight the machine.
Yeah.
It's extra difficult.
So that was fun. That's got to be the second or third time I have had a CPAP conversation with a friend during a convention.
Well, it's like,
it's kind of funny.
Anytime I see someone being like, oh, I'm getting weight loss surgery. Oh, I'm getting this. And I'm like, yeah, thumbs up. And like, try to be encouraging because I've been there, done that. It's hard, but worth it.
It's still a thing that runs through my mind occasionally.
You know, a couple of
because I can diet and lose a few pounds, and I have lost quite a bit with diet and increased activity. But I mean, the weight loss surgery still kind of rattles around my mind sometimes, you know. And Tieran's like, I don't care how much it costs if you want to do it.
That's kind of like it with me. I want more. I've been debating it mostly because the whole diabetes thing, and it's kind of like, I don't expect it to solve my problems. I just kind of want a leg up into getting there.
Yeah.
You know, like additional, it's like, I'm over 40. This will take like another decade to fix. Even if I start tomorrow, getting a little bit of help to make that happen faster so that I can, you know.
Yeah.
Survive.
At least get healthier faster. That's kind of like where my brain goes. I just want it. I want help. I don't expect it to be a fix.
Yeah. And like, my advice to people out there would be to like take care of problems like that when you're younger. Cause I actually injured my back in my mid-20s, but it didn't really become like a life altering thing until my mid-30s, when you're getting older and your joints are starting to ache a little bit, and then you start putting on the weight because the back pain has made you less active.
Yep.
And now I'm trying to reverse that trend. And so, yeah, I mean, like, I'm considering that, like, if I was going to do it, I would want to do it before I get much older. You know, you're kind of in the same boat. We're within a couple years of each other.
I'm, like, just a year younger than you.
I thought you just turned 40.
No, I just turned 41.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'm 42. Okay.
And you,
yeah, so that's a possibility. But I'm actually really happy with the progress that I've made doing it the old-fashioned way. I don't expect to lose, like, 200 pounds through diet and exercise, though. I would need a lot more hours in a day, I think, if I was going to run all the weight off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Tieran was like, I wouldn't have cared if you had gained weight as long as you felt better. And you feel better and you've lost weight. So that's like a bonus. And
yeah, I kind of want to just get the weight down a little so that I don't hurt as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then take it from there, because it's kind of like, it hurts to do whatever, which makes it much harder. I just kind of want to get down a little so that it's not as painful. And then I feel like I could be more active. Exercise is always going to be uncomfortable. It's always going to be like a stress on your body. But there's a difference between that and, oh God, my hips are hurting, my back's hurting. You know, there's the stress of muscles, and then there's the, you know, shit, my joints hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, going to Worldcon, working hard that weekend, and not being in as much pain has actually made me even more motivated to keep going with this. Because I'm like, wow, what a massive improvement what I've already done has made. Let me push and keep doing more so that I can have more and more pain-free experiences.
Yep.
So, yeah, having a really good Worldcon is, I got a lot out of this Worldcon on a personal level. You know, it's made me motivated about my health. I was complimented on how I'm running the business. It's just, and, you know, really sales, chuffed? Money for paying the printers definitely always helps. So
you're feeling chuffed.
That's I am well chuffed, yes. Absolutely.
I love that term, chuffed, because it's just a little like, it's a good describing for, I feel enthusiasm. I feel like I'm in the right direction. I, you know, just this proud little like, I did a good thing. You know?
I actually heard it used on season 4, episode 9 of The Great British Baking Show. The one
that is absolutely and the fact where you could
pull it out, the season, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I just watched it today.
Oh, okay.
Right.
But you did come bearing some gifts from Worldcon.
I did,
gift from Zia that was Ides's art on a tote bag was really cute.
Mm-hmm.
You got me Kinkett's pocketed monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Her art book of, like, it's a thick art book.
It was like wild pocket monsters, I think.
Something like that. Their Pokemon art
it's
book.
It's a full color, heavy gloss stock. Like perfect bound
you could
book.
Smack someone with this book. It's heavy duty. And I flipped through it and it's just gorgeous.
I also got one of those for Ajax because you guys are my two pogo guys. Like, I know you'd dig that stuff.
Yeah, like this Saturday when we go out to that Canadian place, we're going to be swapping Pokemon.
Okay.
Like, I need to coordinate with him because I got a bunch of Taiwanese.
You gotta go get some poutine?
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of Taiwanese Pokemon. So if he trades me stuff from Europe, that is going to be some crazy distance.
Nice.
How did you get Taiwanese Pokemon?
So I put my Pokemon Go trainer code out there on the net briefly because someone was like, yo, what's your trainer code? I want to follow you and be Pokemon Go friends. I'm like, okay. And I posted it and they retweeted it. And apparently, like, a bunch of their friends, or a lot of, like, Pokemon trainer types follow them. And so I went from having, like, 24 friends to 60, because all these requests started pulling in. Like, I actually deleted the tweet after a little bit, because I was getting way too many. Because you can only send out 100 gifts a day, but you can only open 20. Mm-hmm. So you're going to eventually start having this backlog of people.
Right.
Yeah. But I went and looked at all the people that were requesting me, and if they're their character set was Chinese or Japanese, I would mark them as such. And then, like, once people started sending me gifts, I could see where they were sending them from. And I got Alberta, Canada, British Columbia, Canada, London, UK, two different spots in Australia, Queensland, and one in Sydney, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So they're obviously Queensland's the state and Sydney's a city, but that two separate areas of Australia.
Regions, yeah.
And then like a half dozen people from Taiwan, three people from Japan. So I'm like, I got all these eggs that are from all over the place. And what's nice is whenever they send you the Pokestop postcard, you click it and it has the picture that's associated with the Pokestop. And some of them are really cool because a lot of them are shrines and art installation pieces and not.
Is that where those photos came from that you tweeted?
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Pokemon I was wondering Go. About that. Cool.
And I was like, so in addition to getting eggs from Japan and Taiwan, I get like little touristy photos from Japan and Taiwan.
That's yeah.
Which is neat.
And like, I didn't notice, but like, there is a bonus to getting Pokemon from a far distance away.
Yeah.
Like when the eggs hatch or something, right?
Yeah, when you trade them, they count as being from where they were sent from. So if I traded, Ajax, a Pokemon from, hatched from Australia, and he traded me a Pokemon that was from like one of his German Pokemon friends, it would give us the distance in kilometers value towards a goal. So it'd be like, so from here to Taiwan would be like 17,000 kilometers. So like from Taiwan to Germany would probably be more. So it's very desirable to have people across the planet from you.
Right.
Because like if you're working on that badge for trading purposes, they're really efficient.
That's cool.
Ooh, wait a minute. Are you're friends with Pepper and Foxamore on there, right?
Yeah.
They're at Euroference.
So shit.
Maybe it'll pick up some Pokemon in Germany.
Oh, I need to tell him. Yo, Pepper Cody, pick me up some fucking German post. I will open gifts from you all weekend. Send me your German Pokemon. Because I spent some money on the game, and I've got a bunch of incubators, so I'm hatching eggs left and right. So I'm just plowing through them.
Hey, and they'll also be at Mephit if you go to Mephit this year.
Yeah, if I do. Probably won't, but, you know, it's next weekend. I'm just saying,
if you did, yeah.
Oh, that'd be...
No, it's not this weekend. It's next weekend.
Yeah, it's next weekend.
Oh, okay. Sorry you said that, right?
Yeah, I am trying...
So it's not this weekend, but the next. So it's two Fridays from now.
Oh, right. Next weekend is so rough. I mean, I'm in this stir crazy. Fuck, I got vacation coming next week. I cannot wait.
It's low productivity time.
I am trying so hard not to fuck it up.
Get senioritis, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're excited. There's some cool shit afoot. There's some wild shit afoot. This episode has been surprisingly long. We're now past 90 minutes.
Since it is like a whole week away, if you're going to Mephit Fermi in Olive Branch, Mississippi, for Planet, we'll have tables there, and I'll be there, and Ajax will be there. So, to quote the Fox of Moore song, come find me.
Cool. All right. So, now for the social media bullshit. Twitter is awful. Go to Mastodon, I guess. I'm still on Twitter and engaging with it and tweeting things. Like, my feed alternates between politics and Pokemon in a lot of, like, pictures of my dog.
Yes.
Adam is a poor itchy boy right now. He's got to go see the vet.
Why?
He's got, like, a skin infection.
Oh.
He's had it before, but he's chewing himself up, and, like, Benadryl ain't helping. So, like, he's licking the fur off his arms. It's bad.
Is he reacting to something?
I don't know. It just started happening.
Well,
I gotta take him to the vet.
My sister has a dog that's very allergic, and she had to take him to the vet to be diagnosed. So you might want to run an allergy panel on him.
That's what they're going to have to do.
And you have him, like, on a flea preventative, right?
Oh, yeah. He's on Trifaxis. But social media bullshit, you can find me at Savern Drake on Twitter. Find me at Savern on Twitch. I just got faster internet. Shiva, what are you doing?
Playing Pokemon,
apparently. I was signing up for Pokemon Go again, apparently. Oh.
Okay, well, I'll hook you
well,
up,
Well, I think
Shiva.
I'll go to Denver. I'll catch some Pokemon for you, and I'll send
yeah.
it to you.
Hell
yeah.
And send me eggs. Send me gifts.
We'll be in Denver, and I think he plays Pogo, too.
Oh, right? Yeah. I've got so many Albuquerque, New Mexico hatches from him.
I really wish that most games and such would start up with a default of, do you want sound? Yes, no. And they don't immediately launch into sound. And some of the games where you have to get past the load screen before the sound turns off. It's like, fuck you.
I always have my phone, like, set to vibrate. So I just got upgraded internet so I could stream at, like, 6,000 kbit without blinking. It's nice. Absurdly fast now.
Cool, cool.
So that's my bullshit, Fuzz.
You can find me on both Twitter and Mastodon at FuzzWolf. I don't check into my Mastodon account very often, but I do occasionally. So if you use that, I'm there. I really need to start using it more. Or maybe I don't. I don't know.
I got no idea what Mastodon is.
It's basically, it's a Twitter alternative.
I know. I'm just saying that I'm not on it. I got no idea what it is.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated, but you know, you can curate your feed a lot more, and the kinds of interactions that you have a lot more. You can find my companies for Planet on Twitter, for planet.com, for Planet on Facebook if you use Facebook. And Bad Dog Books is our ebook site. Go to baddogbooks.com and buy some electronic furry books. And I think that's about it for me. Like I said, I'll be at Mephit. It's a small con, but it's generally, I found it to be pretty chill the last couple years. So, you know, I'm just going to be dealing and then probably just hanging out, maybe grab some friends for dinner. A friend of mine from the Netherlands is going to be there this year. And I have not seen him in probably 2 or 3 years since the last time he was in an area of the States that I was in. So that'll be fun. So looking forward to catching up a bit.
And I'm not going to be on the next two shows because I'm going to Denver with Sarah. So this week and next, I won't be around. But I'll be back after that with stories of Denver and all the fun stuff that went on there.
So there won't be a show next week because on Thursday I'll be driving to Mephit.
And I'll be packing, maybe, we're debating if we want to like drive some on Thursday night or not, but we'll at least be, oh God, pack all the bags.
Okay, so there won't be an episode for, so 2 weeks gap, basically.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Good to know. I was going to ask, but how professional of us, right?
Yeah,
it's on the calendar. I should just look at it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we actually have a calendar for our show.
Yeah, our Gmail account, which is southpawscast@gmail.com, if you want to write in. I would love to hear con reports from people. So if you're going to one of the 5 furry cons this weekend, write in a con report. Let us know how it goes. If you went to Worldcon, write in and let us know how your Worldcon was.
If you're going to Mephit, when that happens, write in and let us know how it goes, because you'll have a tale to tell, but other people will have different experiences.
Yep.
Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. That's if you want to help support the show, toss a couple bucks our way, $4 a month or so, depending on how many episodes. Like $1 an episode is all we need, and you'd really help us out.
And if you want to ask Anon questions, we do have a Tumblr also. Predictably, it is southpawscast.tumblr.com. And we don't really update it, except it auto-updates when we post an episode. But you can drop questions whenever.
Yeah, and like I've been making sure to like append a show description to the post. Like, check out my new podcast with like the descriptor.
Yeah.
Because Podbean auto-posts that shit. All right, so on that note, good night.
And big books.